Thank you. Well, hello, everyone. I'm privileged today to start our Christmas series, Prepare Him Room. And I love Christmas. I really do. I love what it does to our world. There's a lot more peace and goodwill and love around the place, which is really nice. And I love decorations. Look at the beautiful decorations. I tried to match, kind of went with the neutral theme. I did pretty good, didn't I? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. What about you at your house? Are you into decorating? Are you into the whole Christmas thing? I know when my kids were little, they loved it like I did. So we would get the Christmas tunes happening. We'd crank up the air conditioner and we would decorate the tree. And of course, the most exciting thing was who got to put the star on the top. So that was really exciting. But I remember one year Matt was in preschool and he brought home this beautiful Christmas decoration made with popsicle sticks, pasta, tinsel, and I think there were some pipe cleaners in there, all spray painted gold. It was beautiful. Anyone done one of those? Yeah, you've all probably done one of those. Well, it went on our tree that year. And the next year he said, where is my Christmas ornament? So out it came again. Every year for years we had that ornament on our tree. And of course it was like front and center. It was like, you know, anyway, one year, of course, unfortunately, tragically, the pasta broke and the... don't know how that happened, but anyway, yes, it was a bit sad, but yeah, some people get right into it, some people go, not really interested, but there's lots of preparations for Christmas. We all love to enjoy the eating, we love to be together at Christmas time. Sometimes we get so caught up in the preparations that it's really easy to neglect the preparations that are actually the most important to do at Christmas time. And they're more necessary than ornaments on a tree or gold-painted macaroni or turkeys in the oven. The most important preparations we can make is preparing room in our hearts for Jesus at Christmas. Now, it sounds ridiculous because we all know that Christmas isn't just about Santa Claus and presents. We know it's about Jesus. But what does it even look like to prepare room in your heart and life for Jesus at Christmas? Well, today we're going to start at the very beginning. And Christmas does not just start with the nativity story. It doesn't just start with the baby in a manger. It started way, way back, even before creation. And I want to read to you from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John gives Jesus the title of the Word, and he says that Jesus didn't just start in a manger. Jesus was present before creation. In fact, the Bible says he was with God in the beginning and that all things were made through him. God the Son was present with God the Father before creation. All things were made through him, everything we get to experience, the stars, the galaxies, the planets, the ocean, and all the fish, the animals that we see of all different shapes and sizes and colors. And then there's us, God, triune God, plural, made us in his image, from our tiniest cell to our unique DNA. Everything, every detail, created with such care and with love. And even with all of this perfect creation, it didn't stay perfect because sin entered the world. Humankind wanted to follow themselves. They thought what they thought was the best thing instead of what God thought and following him. But God was prepared. He had a plan. And his plan had been prepared before the creation of the world. In Revelation 13:8, it says that God had prepared his Son to be the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Before anything had been created, before sin had entered the world,
God had a plan to save us. It wasn't a last-minute idea. It wasn't, oh, oops, what do I do now? But it was set in place before time began. Isn't that amazing? God was prepared for this. So what was God's preparation? What was his solution? What plan could he possibly come up with that would work to save us? God's plan was that he would be the solution. He would send God the Son to take on humanity and then to take on our sin and our shame. The God who created the world, who is beyond time, who is everywhere at the same time, this cosmic God would become human. And the wonder of this is that he stayed fully God while being fully man. This is the mystery and the wonder that is Christmas. So without losing his divinity, he added humanity. He doesn't stop being God, but he adds being human. It's so hard to get your head around this. So think of it this way. I'm a daughter, but when I became a parent, I didn't lose being a daughter. I took on parenthood, but I remained a daughter. It's a really poor analogy, but here is God, fully God, and that doesn't change. But he took on humanity, being fully human, with all the constraints of humanity. I love how C.S. Lewis puts this. He says, "Once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our whole world." It's so hard to get your head around how the one who created our whole world is lying in a manger in one of the most vulnerable positions, having to be cared for by someone else, relying on someone else for food. The great act of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, constrained himself and took upon himself our human nature. Yet he stayed fully God, and fully man. Colossians 1, the Passion Translation, paraphrases it this way. "He is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God, and the firstborn heir of all creation. For through the Son everything was created, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth, all that is seen and all that is unseen. Every seat of power, realm of government, principality, and authority. It was all created through him and for his purpose. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in him." Verse 19 says, "For God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again." I love verse 19. "For God is satisfied to have all his fullness," all the fullness of God, "dwelling in Christ." God the Son took on flesh and dwelt among us. The incarnation means that God cared, and he came among us to deliver us from ourselves. This God, this creator of all, chose to humble himself and restrict himself in our humanity. It's amazing, this omnipresent God, this God who can be everywhere all at the same time, chose to be monopresent, to constrain himself to make his dwelling among us. He humbled himself for us. In Philippians 2, it says, "He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought of seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. And this, the wonder of Christmas, is not that a baby was born, but that God became flesh, God with us, Emmanuel. It isn't waking up on Christmas morning and unwrapping the presents and eating all the food and listening to carols, even though all of this stuff is great to do. But it's realizing that indelible truth that God became one of us. He chose to take on our humanness. So he understands pain. He understands loss. He understands grief. He understands loneliness. He understands anger, all the things that we feel. But he was perfect, sinless God, fully God, yet fully man. And God chose the most surprising way to do it. He started at the very beginning of life, in the womb of a young peasant girl. God prepared room in a mother's womb to be with us, to live amongst us, to show us the way back to God. And that's the first and most important thing about Christmas, is that God made room. I think that's the most exciting thing about Christmas, that God made room. He did all the preparations that were necessary for our salvation. Cosmic God present with us in the most surprising of ways. The incarnation displays this greatness of God. Our God is the eternal God who took on humanity, born in a stable. He's not a distant, withdrawn God. Our God is a humble, giving God, not a selfish, grabbing God. Our God is a purposeful, planning God. He's not a random, reactionary God. Our God is a God who is far above us and whose ways are not our ways. He's not a God we can put in a box and control. And our God is a God who redeems us by his blood. He's not a God who leaves us in our sin. Our God is great indeed. The most wonderful thing about this at Christmas time is that God made room for us. For this to happen, though, someone else had to make room. And in Luke 1, it tells us the story of this. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. God made room, but also Mary made room. Mary had to make room in her life for God. This was not what she was expecting for her life. In fact, she had her life all mapped out. Her parents had arranged a good match for her in Joseph. They were betrothed. In Bible times, that meant that they were as good as married. It was a binding agreement. Yet they were not living together as husband and wife yet. Life for her as a woman in these times was mapped out. And then the angel comes and tells her this astounding news that God had chosen her, had invited her to be part of his plan. What was Mary's reaction to this? Well, first of all, she was greatly troubled at his words, the Bible says. She was afraid. Fear of the unexpected turn of events and what this would mean for her. Fear is a very normal reaction. But the thing with Mary is she didn't stay in that place. She didn't let fear be the voice that was the loudest. She didn't let fear be the thing that governed her decisions. Secondly, she was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with the impossibility of this. I mean, this seemed so bizarre. Verse 34, she says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." It's a pretty normal question to ask, I think. She didn't have all the answers of what it would be like. But God was showing her that with him, all things are possible, even what seemed impossible in her thinking and her knowing. In the contemporary English version, verse 37 reads, "Nothing is impossible for God." And yet, even though fear and overwhelmed were natural, normal human reactions, she responded to God's invitation and she surrendered to it. In verse 8, she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." What a beautiful response. Even though I'm sure she had no idea of the full meaning of what this would look like for her, what her life would be like, she understood partly. You see, in those days, Jewish law provided that Mary, as Joseph's betrothed, because of her seeming unfaithfulness, because she was going to be pregnant out of marriage, could be placed before the elders for judgment and stoned to death. She didn't know that Joseph would choose to think to just put her away quietly without public knowledge. He was a kind man. Betrothals or marriage engagements in those ancient times were binding and could only be terminated by an official divorce decree. She didn't know that the angel would visit Joseph and help him to understand what had happened. Mary didn't know how it would play out, and yet, with questions and concerns still remaining, she surrendered to God. Later is recorded a beautiful song of worship that she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, for he has done great things for me." Mary saw this invitation from God as an honor to be used by God. Sometimes God chooses you to do things that are too big for you, that seem impossible for you. Simon talked about this last week, Simon from Compassion, and he described it as wearing shoes that are too big for you. And yet the opportunity is there for you, and he invites you into it. Do you always see that as an honor? As the honor that it is? You know, I relate to Mary so much in this, because this is my story. I never would have imagined the future that God had in mind for me when I surrendered my life to him. I was raised in a very conservative church where women were silent. They were not allowed to take part in a church service. They weren't allowed to teach from the front or be on the stage. They were allowed to teach kids in Sunday school, which I did, and they were allowed to sing, which I did, but certainly not to speak from the front. As well as that, I suffered from really bad anxiety, or stage fright, as we called it in those times. I hated getting up in front of people. I used to take singing lessons when I was in high school and piano lessons because I loved music. I always have. But my teacher always wanted to put me into a Steadfords, and I hated a Steadfords. I would get so nervous that I would make myself sick. Like, my knees would shake. It would feel like they were shaking like that, but they weren't. They were only shaking like that. And I would see those spots before my eyes. I would sweat, and I'd feel sick in the stomach. It was just horrible.
But probably because I'm a 2 on the Enneagram and I wanted to please people, I kept saying yes. So I kept putting myself through this all the time. I ended up after high school choosing music courses on my QTAC form. The only problem was that with music courses, you don't just get in on your marks, you have to audition. So I hadn't quite thought this through. So I found myself, I ended up getting an audition at the conservatorium. I didn't even know what a conservatorium was at the time, so that was a new thing for me at first. But I ended up being in this room, which was probably a third of the size of this stage. And it was filled with a huge grand piano, and it had 4 chairs, so that were like really close to me. And those 4 chairs were filled with the authoritative people of the conservatorium, and they were there to listen to me play and sing. It was one of the most intimidating, frightening things that I have ever undergone. But I did it, and I managed to get into a course. It wasn't the one I was going for, but I got in there. So I worked hard. And each year I would end up having to perform to pass my exams. So intimidating, but I worked hard and I trained to be a music teacher. Again, hadn't really thought this through, because what is teaching? Well, it's like performing every day. Every day you get to stand up in front of a class. I would be so nervous on prac, but I kept going. Finally, I graduated, and my first school was Jindalee State School as their music teacher. And I don't know whether you ever had a music teacher in primary school, but there's generally only one of them. And there was only one of me in this school. The school had about 700 students in it. And as their music teacher, I would teach every one of those students during the week. They would come to me for a class. So every half an hour, I would get a new group of students, and I was on all day. In lunchtimes, there'd be choirs. After school was band practice. Constantly up in front of kids, and then there was the concerts, there was the musicals, all of these things. But as I look back, God was constantly inviting me into situations that were way beyond me, constantly asking me to wear shoes that were too big for me. What was He doing? He was constantly preparing me for what was next. Along came parenthood, divorce, moving churches, signing up for the worship team here, and then gradually taking on leadership positions here. Each time, being faithful to what God was calling me to do and saying yes to what He was inviting me to. Each time, being afraid and overwhelmed by what was expected of me, but each time saying yes. You see, you might look at me and think that this is where I started, that this is what comes naturally. But God invites us into things that are often way too big for us. They seem impossible for us. But when we surrender to Him, we end up in places that we never would have dreamed of. So here I am, on stage most weeks. The irony doesn't fail me. But God keeps inviting me into more. The other week, I received a phone call from head office asking me to lead communion for our minister's forum. Now, this is where all the pastors from all over Queensland for Churches of Christ gather to meet and learn together. So here I am being asked me to lead all of these pastors in communion. Can you appreciate, knowing a little of my story, how this felt? And I must admit, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, "Are you sure?" But then I smiled and said, "Okay, God, this is the next thing. Yes. The next pair of shoes that I have to put on that are too big." Well, I led communion, and I had so many beautiful pastors come up and thank me for my words afterwards and just tell me how much it had touched them. You know, God continues to invite me, and I continue to have the opportunity to say yes to the honor of the invitation. I'm not going out chasing the invitations. I'm not trying to be the biggest, best preacher I can be, but I'm doing the work. I'm being faithful in what God gives me, and I'm saying yes to the invitations that come along. What about you?
What is God inviting you into that may seem impossible to you? You know, there are so many opportunities here at White Hill to serve next year. We really need someone to lead our junior youth group, to take ownership of that and serve kids from our community who don't yet know Jesus. What an honor to partner with what God is doing in the lives of kids and parents in our community. So many opportunities like that. You say, I couldn't do that. But maybe God's tugging at your heart. Are you listening? First of all, God made room. Secondly, Mary made room. Thirdly, are we willing to make room? And what does that even look like to make room? Can we be like Mary, who first of all realized the honor of the invitation? God wants to use you this Christmas to bring joy to the world. He is inviting you to be part of his plan. Who am I that you would choose me for this? Who am I that you would choose me to know you, to receive your holy presence in me, to be part of your mission in saving the world? What an honor. That was Mary's attitude. What about you? Are you honored that God would choose you? Can you realize what an honor this is? Firstly, it's realizing the honor, but secondly, it's putting yourself at God's disposal. God works in surprising and often seemingly impossible ways and with surprising people who seem incapable for the task, like me. But he's looking for those, like Mary, whose hearts are turned toward him, who are listening for his voice and are putting themselves at God's disposal. Look at Moses. He couldn't even talk without stuttering, and he hated talking in front of people. But God wanted him to talk to the most important, influential person of the time, Pharaoh. Look at Esther, a Jew having to go before the king to set her people free and risk her life in the process. Look at Gideon. He was so afraid and uncertain about what God wanted him to do that he kept asking for sign after sign. None of these people felt qualified. They all felt afraid and overwhelmed, but they all said yes to God and put themselves at his disposal. And look at what God did through them, saved nations and people for his glory. What is he inviting you into? Will you be like Mary, who embraced and who accepted the honor? Can you say like Mary did, I am your servant. Let it be to me as you have said. I choose to follow you, even when I don't know all the answers, even when I'm feeling afraid and overwhelmed. When you call me, I will follow. I will say yes. And one of the awesome things is that Mary knew that she would not be alone in this. She had God inside of her. Imagine having the presence of God living inside of you, that you would know his presence. Well, we can have that. And in fact, if you've chosen to follow Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. When you choose to follow him, and maybe that was your decision that you made in the Festival of Good News, you now have the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, living in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Don't you realize that together you have become God's inner sanctuary and that the Spirit of God makes his permanent home in you?" Isn't it amazing that God comes and lives in us? And he is the strength that we need to face the fear. He is the constant we need when life is overwhelming and uncertain. And he promises to never leave us. Imagine what we could do as a community of people if we did this, if we were ones who realized the honor of God's invitation and who said yes to him. What does it mean to make room like Mary did? It means giving God the right to change your plans, to say, like Mary, May your word be fulfilled to me. I am your servant. I am at your disposal. Do what you want with me this Christmas. Clear your schedule because God is inviting you. Make room for God to use you. Be available. Listen to what he is inviting you into and be ready to step into it. It requires a decision, a choice. God, I give you my Christmas. I accept the honor. I put myself at your disposal to use me as you see fit. Are you willing to do that this Christmas? Because that's how you make room, how you prepare room for Jesus this Christmas. God made room, Mary made room, and he invites us to make room as well. I love that God's solution didn't stop at a manger, but it carried through to a cross. And we read in Philippians 2, he humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. He was the perfect solution, God's perfect plan, thought about before creation, to restore us into a right relationship with God, his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. We're going to take part in communion now, and you can see that there's four places set up throughout the auditorium, and there's a space now to just go and get a piece of bread and a little cup and find a space in the auditorium as we just remember this God, this cosmic God who took on flesh and came and dwelt amongst us and lived a perfect life and died in our place. And we want to thank him and honor him tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we were not an afterthought to you. You had a plan for us before creation. Lord, thank you that you made room for us. Lord, as we take this bread and this cup and remember that you were our solution, that you took our punishment, we say thank you. And Lord, as we sit in this quiet space for a moment, help us to be aware of the ways that you call us into shoes that are too big for us. You are even now preparing in advance good things for us to do, things that to us seem like we are incapable of, but yet you invite us into. Lord, I pray that we would lean in and hear your voice, and that we would be like Mary and see it as the honor that it is, and say, yes, may it be to me as you have said. Lord, we thank you that we are not alone, that we have your Spirit in us who gives us the strength to do the task. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.